Man, what a great year it's going to be. I am so thankful to be a part of the Azalea City Church family. I am so thankful that you are part of the Azalea City Church family. And in case you're not, this is the place you want to be. This is the greatest body of believers I personally know. And I'm so thankful that you all are here. I'm so thankful for those who've conducted us and led us in our worship service today. I'm so thankful that you are here. It started out this morning at 9 a.m. with Bible class. Man, I hope you all had a great class. We had a great class, had a great number in class, and today I've enjoyed being able to gather together to praise our God in song, to praise our God through gathering around this table and partaking of the Lord's Supper, to praise our God through prayer and Bible reading. And now it is time in our lesson for us to, here it is, focus. It is our theme for this year. There's a lot of folks, as George mentioned last week, that have gone to Vision 2020, and so we took a little bit of a different approach, and we decided to focus, to go back to the basics. Where is the basic? Well, what got us out of focus? Well, it's exactly what Gabriel read to us. Gabriel, great job. Had a long reading today. I appreciate him doing so well reading that. But in James chapter 4 there, verses 13 through 17, essentially this is what James is saying. He's saying, hey, why you put it off till tomorrow? Why are you not focused on today? Why are you putting off tomorrow going, and he said, to do such and such in a city? I'm going to say it this way. Why are you putting off obeying the gospel? Why are you putting off deciding to be at Sunday school? Why are you putting off being here every time you can? Why are you putting off being the best Christian husband, the best Christian wife, the best Christian you can possibly be? He said, we're not guaranteed tomorrow. He said, tomorrow is not a guarantee. You see, life is like a vapor. It just appears for a little while, and then it vanishes away. And then he goes on to close that out to say, for he who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. Today it all starts, our focus does, with or without sin. Depending on if we're focused or not depends on if we are in sin or not. And so that's where I want to take you today, is back to Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 3 is where sin began. Turn, if you will. Let's look at this together. Genesis chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor you shall touch it, lest you die. Now, let's pause for a moment. And he said right there, hey, that's focus. You better be focused, God said. I'm giving you everything in the world you could possibly want. Anything in the world you possibly need, for sure. You've got all the fruit. You've got all the vegetation. You've got everything you want in this beautiful garden. You've got one another. You don't know sin. You don't have any of this. He said, just focus on avoiding one tree. Focus on avoiding one tree. Well, we know, right? We know how it goes. Verse 4, then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open. You'll be like God, knowing good or evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she lost focus. It doesn't say that, but that's what she did. She took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden to the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God. Remember the communion that they had together? Remember how together they were, how focused they were, and now, because of one small but deadly three-letter word, they're now hiding themselves from God. It's crazy, man. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Now I want you to know, God knew they did. The man said, "The woman," played the blame game, "whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate." And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel." To the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Then to Adam he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, but thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. You shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." You see, all of that because they lost focus. I don't play darts, throw darts, I guess is what you'd actually call it. But I have shot some bow and arrows before. And depending on how out of focus I was, that may be what the target looks like. You see, the word for sin in the Greek is the word hamartia. Hamartia. It means to miss the mark. Every time we sin, we miss the mark. What is the mark? Well, the mark is being where we need to be. I think of the mark being the cross. I think of the mark being that crown that God's going to give us. You see, when I think about making it, when I think about walking into the gates of heaven, I think about Jesus who carried that cross so that I could have that crown. When I sin, and when you sin, and we take our focus off of the cross, we miss the mark. We miss where we're going. You know, Jesus talked about putting your hands to the plow and not looking back. Maybe you tried to do something in a straight line. One time when I was a full-time coach at Mobile Christian, it became my job to paint the lines. And that's a stressful job because you've got to make sure you are not distracted. And I am ADD. And you've got to watch that line that you're shooting all the way across, especially on about the 20 at Mobile Christian or 25, because people stand at that line. If it's crooked, they go, no. They're going to know. You see, our attention span is so easily distracted today. Adam and Eve were easily distracted. Eve got distracted because the serpent slithered his way into her life. Adam got distracted maybe because of Eve's beauty, because he was in love with her. Maybe he was loving the bond that they had together, even from a sexual standpoint. And so he was just so distracted and so in love and so everything else. He's like, sure, I'll eat it. But man, what it cost him. When we take our eyes off the prize, guys, it is a great, I'll find it in a minute, I lost focus. It's a great danger. And so today what I want to do is talk about the dangers of being out of focus and being focused on sin and not the Savior. Today I want to talk to you about some things that we need to make sure we understand about sin, which is where it all began. The focus and the out of focus started whether Adam and Eve sinned or not, and it's been that way ever since. And so today I want to talk to you about number one, there's a danger of sin. When we lose focus and we sin, we have a danger of becoming hardened. You know, in the Hebrew language, they didn't have a word for hard heart. And it didn't begin really until Pharaoh. You remember that? When Moses was drawn out of the water, he and Aaron go into Pharaoh, and God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Pharaoh also chose and he hardened his own heart. Again, a lot that went into that. Well, from that point forward, you remember Moses would say things like, your hearts are hard, and you need to have your hearts circumcised. And there was a comparison to there. But with that, he's talking about hardened hearts. Well, literally what he was saying is, you've become Pharaoh. Because they didn't have another word for it. And that's how they understood it. You've become Pharaoh. Well, I don't know who today would be your Pharaoh. Remember, to them, their Pharaoh was the one who had them enslaved. He was the one who beat them. He was the one who killed all their babies. He was the one that did all these evil things, the Pharaohs that they handed down through generations. So it was an awful thing. So today I want you to think of that awful person or that awful being or that awful whatever, and I want you to think in your mind, when I sin and my heart becomes hard, I've become that person that I never wanted to be. That's the danger of sin. You see, the fact is, sin means that we harden our hearts against God's love, against God's grace, against God's peace, against God's mercy. You know, it starts, if you think about this today, hey, this year is 2020, it's a brand new year, so what am I going to do? I'm going to study my Bible more. I'm going to pray more. I'm going to do all this more, and everything sounds great right now, and everybody's on fire. We'll see how it goes in a few weeks. There are some that their fires are lit, and they're here. There's still some that nothing, hey, they've gotten to a point where it takes a lot to light their fire. But there's still an ember there, and we still stoke that flame, and we still put oxygen to it, and we can get it going again. We can breathe life back into it. But the bottom line is this, if you and I are not careful, things like our Bible study can fall flat. It becomes unfruitful. In fact, this is what Psalm 1 verses 1 and 2 read, how they read. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord. And on His law they meditate day and night. Now I want you to understand with that, there was a lot of law. There was a lot of law. For instance, there were 613 total commandments that branched off from the Ten Commandments. In fact, if you take the Torah, okay, the law that they understood, and you counted up all those commandments, somebody took time and did this, okay, and so I'm taking their word for it. I didn't. 613 of them. Now, the debate is, did they just love the law or did they love the whole Torah? Well, that's a great question. I don't really know. But here's what the psalmist is saying. One way or the other, if they loved the Torah, by the way, there were 69 chapters before they even got to the first law. That's just a little bit of history for you. But if they loved the whole Torah, which is how this translates, if they loved the whole Torah, then they loved the whole narrative of how God showed His love and all that. If they just loved the law, they love the fact that they understood what it took to please God, no matter what. We can't delight in sin. We got to delight in God's Word. We got to delight in God's love. We got to delight in God's peace. And when we don't do that, you know what happens? Our Bible study doesn't accomplish anything. If I'm living in sin and my heart is hard, then reading my Bible is like reading Harry Potter. Or whatever novel you like to read. It's just a book then. It's not alive in our hearts. Don't get me wrong, the book's alive. The Word's alive. But it's not alive to me. You see, James said in chapter 1, verses 22 through 24, but be doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a person observing their natural face in a mirror, for they observe themselves, go away, and immediately forget what kind of person they were. See, God's word should act like a mirror in our lives to point out areas in our personal lives that need changing. But when my heart's hard, what I end up doing then is make excuses, or I forget to apply Bible teaching to my everyday life and situations. That's what happens when my heart's hard. You know what else happens when my heart's hard? It takes away excitement. I am very excited today. I got up this morning and I do, some of you wouldn't classify it as coffee, but I do like about one cup of coffee a day. And that has cream and sugar in it, so it may not classify as coffee. But I like to get up, having a conversation with Jason earlier about this. He likes the same. I like to get up, I like to be by myself, and I like to spend time in prayer or God's Word and drink that cup of coffee. Okay? I like to do that. So this morning I got up and I did that and I was excited. I got dressed and come to worship and I was excited. After I got my sermon ready for today, I was excited, even though it's on sin and that's not real exciting. I was excited about it. Went to Bible class, had great numbers today. We were excited about it. Came into worship, I'm excited. And I want you to know I'm still excited and I hope that comes out in you. Maybe it's the coffee, I don't know. But I think it's God. But I like to think my heart's not hardened today. And I'm still excited about worship. But there are some people not excited about it. There are some people not excited about being here. There are some people not excited about coming. There are some people that look to this as a dread or look to it as, I got to check off. They look to it as it's just something I've got to do. You know why I know that? Because you can see it all over them. You can see it in their attendance. You can see it in everything. Listen, I understand life. I'm not talking about when life gets in the way. I'm not talking about when I have to do things or I'm sick or whatever. I'm talking about when I can be here and I'm not. If I've lost my joy, chances are my heart has become hard because I have drifted into sin. Hey, Adam, who told you were naked? Nobody had to tell Adam he was naked. Because his heart had grown hard. He had fallen into the pitfall of sin. Psalm 51:12, David's words, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with your generous spirit." You know what he'd done? He'd sinned. He'd sinned with Bathsheba. And he was miserable. His joy was gone. His excitement was gone. The unfocused Christian looks to worldly pleasures to fill the void that's left in their heart. It's like an anesthetic that deadens the pain of an empty heart. Every sin we commit nudges us toward a complete and utter hardness of the heart, and that's very dangerous. Let me just explain to you how long it took. I don't know what happened to Adam and Eve. I have my thoughts. I don't know if they lost their soul or they came back home. But here's what I do know. Cain goes on to murder Abel. They're given a son to replace Abel, Seth. Seth ultimately, through his line, has a son named Enosh. How old is Adam at this point? I have no idea. Adam lived to be 930 years old. Maybe he's 700. Maybe he's 800. I don't know. How old was he in the garden when he sinned? I don't think much time. This is just me speculating, okay? This is just me throwing out a what if. What if, again, he appeared to be a grown man, right? Which is really a little bit confusing. But after 1 minute old. He was 1 minute old, but he appeared to be a grown man, which is how amazing God is. And so at the bottom line, when he ate of the tree, how old was he? I don't know. Let's just say he was 30. Let's say he has Enosh at 800. Or Seth has, I don't know. But But let's just say 800 years pass. You know what it says about Enosh? It said, then men finally began calling on the name of the Lord. Did 800 years pass before people called on God again? Is it going to take us 800 minutes? Is it going to take us 8 minutes, 8 days? Are we going to wake up today and find that excitement again? Find that joy again and make our hearts soft again? Number 2, danger. You know what? This is a big one. When I fall into sin, there's divine disappointment. And I want to explain that to you. You see, when God said to Adam, "Where are you?" I've told you this many times. He knew where Adam was, physically. He knew where Adam was. He knew he was behind Adam, behind. I don't know what I just said. Y'all don't either. He knew he was hiding behind that tree over there. Don't play hide and seek with God. He's the best of all time. But he knew where he was physically. But he said, "Adam, where are you spiritually? Where are you right now? Because I'm very disappointed in you." You know how I knew he was disappointed? He handed out punishment. He handed out consequences. And we're still reaping from them today. Guys, when you and I disappoint, when we sin and disappoint God, what are the consequences? What's going to happen? You see, sin robs us of fellowship with God. 1 John 1:3 and 6, "That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ." That sounds great. That's what we desire. That's the focus today. But then he goes on to say in verse 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth." You see, fellowship can be defined as consciousness that everything is right between us and God. That means the same thing that makes God happy makes us happy. The same things that make God sad make us sad. If I feel that in my life today, then chances are I'm walking the way I need to walk. But if I can't feel that and I can't tell that, then guess what? I've lost that fellowship because God's disappointed in me. I've let God down. I've hurt God's heart. I've made Him angry. And it's very, very dangerous to fall into the wrath of God. And we don't want to do that. Now, He's not longing for that to happen to you, but it is a reality. He's not waiting on you to mess up. He's not waiting on me to mess up, but it is a reality. He gets upset with us. And you know what else happens? It causes separation. Sin causes separation between us and God. 1 John 1:6 again. "If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we live a lie and do not practice the truth." You know what "live a lie" literally means here? It means we're trying to live the Christian life in the flesh. That just can't happen. Because when we obeyed the gospel, when we were baptized behind this wall's water, when I went down in the water and I was baptized in contact with Jesus Christ's blood and I came up out of the water, I was born to walk in newness of life. I'm living a new life, a life that's not about the flesh, a life that's not about me, a life that's not about selfishness, a life that's about spiritual life, a life that's about God, a life that is about His church, His kingdom, and doing good. You see, that's what I'm living. But if I'm living in sin, then I'm living in separation. Then he goes on to say about practicing the truth. "Those who practice the truth do not practice the truth" refers to those who are ignorant or willfully disobedient of God's commands. There are some that are ignorant, and then there's some that ignore. Both of those are dangerous. Both of those are really, really dangerous. So today, I don't need to fall risk to divine disappointment. But then thirdly, there's a danger when I'm in sin and unfocused, out of focus on God and focus on sin, there's the danger of drained peace and strength. Philippians 4 verse 7, Paul said, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Paul said in the church at Colossae, Colossians 3 verse 15, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." Now here's the kicker in that. If I sin, when I fall in sin, and I live in a life of sin, I don't have peace anymore. I don't have Jesus Christ anymore. Now I'm not talking about those of us who are walking in the light and living in the light and have fellowshipping we're fellowshipping one another. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about those that we decide, I'm leaving and I'm being part-time and I'm going to do this part-time. See, that's a real danger. Because everybody longs for peace. Everybody longs for strength. And when I lose it, when I leave it, man, that's such a miserable place to be. Because sin causes not peace, it causes anguish of the heart. It causes a complete loss of peace. Let me read you this quote. "It is perhaps but a little while, and you shall see the face of God in peace no more." Talking about sin. "Perhaps by tomorrow you shall not be able to pray, read, hear, or perform any duties with the least cheerfulness, life, or vigor. And possibly you may never see a quiet hour while you live in sin. And all of this may come about because you chose to sin, and you are now bearing the consequences. You cannot sin willfully and recklessly without consequence." Lastly, this morning, this is the big one, folks. They're all big. But when I sin and I lose focus, when I step out of fellowship with God, man, I run the risk of eternal destruction. Don't take my word for it. In fact, turn over to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Let's read what Jesus Christ says at the end of this book. Let's begin in verse 31. "When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. And all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on the right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the King will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.' Then He will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison and you did not visit me.' And they will answer him and saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? He will say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. You see, as I close out this sermon, I want you to think about those words of Jesus. What he said takes us full circle back to what James said. If I put off till tomorrow, tomorrow I'll be a servant. Tomorrow I'll start coming to worship. Tomorrow I'll start reading my... Tomorrow I'll pray. Tomorrow I'll be the best Christian I can. You see, I'm not promised tomorrow. And if in my heart I know it's right to do good and I do not do it, then I know it's sin. Jesus said, if that is you today, and you are living a life of sin, then when I return, I'm going to separate you. I'm going to put the sheep on my right hand, and I'll put you, the goat, the miserable animal, on my left. I'm going to say to those on my right, great job. Come on into the kingdom. But those on my left, I'm going to kick you into the lake that's filled with everlasting fire. That's the real danger in sin. Not only today, but every day of 2020 and beyond. May my focus be the Savior. And may my focus never be sin. Adam and Eve made a huge mistake. I have no idea if they ever got right or how long it took them. But if you've made a huge mistake, then you can get right today. You can get back in focus today. You can obey the gospel today. Don't put it off. Come right now together. We stand and sing.